Scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan when Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. May God bless the reading of his word. So Joshua and the Israelites, they've entered the promised land and they've taken most of the land. Not all of it, but most of it. And a list of all the defeated kings and cities are listed in Joshua chapter 12. And as we move into Joshua 13, the Lord tells Joshua there are still portions of the land that need to be taken. So the Lord tells Joshua to divide up the land that's been conquered, the land of Canaan as a whole, divide it up among the tribes of Israel. And then he tells Joshua that he will drive out the remaining people from the land, but the people in each tribe need to take the initiative and go to take it. And so he gives the same condition that he gave Joshua going into the land. I am giving you the land, but you have to take a step of faith and go and take the land. And so he divides the land up, and then with each tribe he gives the whole land. Just imagine it like this. Let's say you're a tribe and he gives you the Somerville neighborhood. And to another tribe he gives, you know, Harrisburg. And to another tribe he gives Bedford Heights. And so he gives all these different places. But then imagine there's like, let's say, you know, 300 homes in Somerville. And, you know, there's still about 100 of them that still have enemies in them. So, you know, I'm giving you all of Somerville, but there's still some houses that need to be taken. And it's your responsibility for your tribe to go and take those, trust the Lord, take a step of faith, and finish the job. And he does that for each tribe, okay? And so it's in the context of this type of allotment and condition that we are introduced, or may I say reintroduced to a man, that we were introduced to earlier in the Bible, actually 40 years earlier than what is taking place here in Joshua. And his name is Caleb. Now, Caleb stands out and he's given some space in the scripture because he wholly followed the Lord. And so as we look at this passage, I want us to answer the question, or at least consider the question, what does it look like to wholly follow the Lord? The first thing I think we can learn from Caleb is that following the Lord is not easy. I was talking about this earlier. Life's not easy, right? Life's not easy. And following the Lord's not easy either. Look at Joshua 14 again, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizanite said to him, 'You know that what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Now, you may be familiar with this story. Earlier, 40 years prior to this, Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, to come up with a strategy to take it. And Caleb was one of the 12. Joshua was also one of the 12. Now, you can find that in the book of Numbers. But here's what was going on. Before the people of Israel were brought into this opportunity to take the land of Canaan the first time under Moses, they were enslaved in Egypt, right? I mean, they were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. God delivers them through the leadership of Moses, and they bring them to this place where God brings them to this opportunity to take the land. And so he sends the 12 spies. They bring back the report, and two reports were given. Both reports agreed that, hey, this is a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. But the reports disagreed when it came to whether or not the Israelites could actually take the land. And this is the report we found from the 10 spies in Numbers 13. It says, "We came to the land to which you sent us." So the spies were given a report. This is earlier under Moses' leadership. "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." And so while the 10 spies were given this, you know, cowardly report, like, yeah, these are the obstacles, this is the hardship, this, I don't know if we can do it, look at all the problems, Caleb interjects his report in verse 30, and it says, "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses." And notice that Caleb does this, not Joshua. Caleb said, quiets the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, if you're familiar with the story, you remember the majority report calls the people actually to refuse to move forward. They refused to go forward and trust that God could give them this land. And the consequence for that choice was that the people of Israel would wander around in the desert in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died out. Now, God did tell Joshua and Caleb, because of your faith, you will enter the promised land. But what you need to realize is Caleb was 40 years old when Moses asked him to go on this expedition to spy out the land. So that means Caleb was born in slavery, spent 40 years in slavery under the harsh conditions, laboring for the Egyptians. And yet we can assume, because of the type of person Caleb was in the story that is listed here in the scripture, that Caleb, even under that circumstance, wholly followed the Lord. Then, when Moses sent him to spy out the land, he says in Joshua 14:8, "But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord." And so what we see here in the life of Caleb is that following the Lord is not always easy. You know, Caleb endured harsh treatment in Egypt. And then he goes to spy out the land, and he comes back and says, "Yeah, we can do this, let's do this." And the people say, "No, we're not going to do this." And even though Caleb was faithful, he has to spend 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, that's hard. 40 years in slavery, and now 40 years in the wilderness. And this is not his fault, right? But he's enduring this hardship Nonetheless, and yet it says he wholly followed the Lord. And so Caleb's story shows us that, you know, following the Lord is not easy, especially when you're in the minority, especially when your belief is not popular. But Caleb, I believe Caleb's focus was on what pleases God rather than what pleases the people. His focus is on, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And that's what it looks like to wholly follow the Lord. So if you want to wholly follow the Lord, we really need to be more interested in what pleases God rather than what pleases those around us. And we know following the Lord is not easy, but it is possible with God's help. And one of the ways God helps us, just like he helped Caleb, is through his word. And this was true of Caleb's life. It's true of ours as well. God's promise to Caleb was a powerful motivation for him. Look at Joshua 14:9. Caleb says, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Now the Bible tells us that God gave a general promise to the people of Israel that you will inherit this land. But in the context of the general promise to the whole people, he gives Caleb a specific promise within the general promise that this will be your portion. This is what I have for you. And so Moses tells Caleb that the land that your foot stepped on shall be yours because you have wholly followed the Lord. And it's similar for us as well. You know, God has promised all of us, if we are in Christ, we have eternal life. We will enter the eternal promised land with Christ, right? But yet at the same time, he promises each of us individually that he has gifted us in certain ways and how we will journey forward to receive this promise and how we will participate in his mission. The Great Commission, to take the gospel to the world. He's gifted us each individually in the context of the body as we move forward in the mission. And so we're not, as the church, you know, we're not interested in taking a certain piece of geography, but we are interested in taking more ground from the enemy. And what I mean by that is we are concerned about people and places where worship doesn't occur. Specifically, worship of Christ as the Messiah. And so that's why we're concerned about those around us who may not know Christ. That's why we're praying for them. That's why we love them. That's why we share the gospel with them. Because we want to take ground for the enemy and free their hearts then to worship the one true God. And so we're not taking, you know, cities like Jericho anymore, but we are taking the good news into strongholds that are taking hold of people's hearts and keeping them from seeing the glory of God. And so we take the gospel as the army of the Lord into the world so that people can be free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to this promise that Paul gives Timothy, 2 Timothy. I was thinking about, you know, God's promise to Caleb was, "I'm going to give you this land." Now, he had to wait 40 years to take it, but he was ready. And that's the kind of sense you get from Caleb, that he was always ready. Just give me the opportunity, we're going to do it. And so I'm thinking, okay, as followers of Jesus, you know, what is God's promise to us as we're involved in his mission? What is his promise to us? Listen to 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Paul's coming to the end of his life and he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And so this crown of righteousness, this eternal life, this relationship with God is something that we receive through Jesus Christ. And we will experience it in its fullness when Christ returns or when we go to be with the Lord. And so, you know, maybe you're going through a desert time right now. And it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're kind of like Caleb. You know, you wanted to move forward. You want to experience what God has for you, but you're in the desert. Maybe it was your choice that led you in the desert. Maybe it was the choice of others, but you're experiencing the desert. You're looking around and you're just not seeing a whole lot of fruit. And wondering, what is God doing? Why is following the Lord so hard? And I want to remind you here again of Caleb, who walked through slavery. He walked through the desert, and yet he wholly followed the Lord. It was the promise of God for him that was his motivation. You know, he knew God was not done with him. And it's the same with you. We're in the desert sometimes. We face hardship. But God's not done with you. He's not done with me. And laid up for us is this crown of righteousness in Christ. And that should motivate us to move forward, to persevere. So if we're going to wholly follow the Lord, one, it's not easy, right? We know that. If you've been following the Lord for any amount of time, you know it's not easy. It's a battle. But the promises of God are really what fuel the fire, right? It really what motivates us to move forward by faith in Christ. But there's one more truth that I see in Caleb's life that is true for all of those who seek to follow the Lord. And this is such an encouraging truth. The truth is that the Lord continues to give opportunities and even second chances to his people. Isn't that encouraging? He continually gives new opportunities for steps of faith in your life and for growth. And sometimes he even gives you an opportunity to try something again that maybe you didn't get to step out in faith on. Maybe you didn't take him up on to begin with. Look at Joshua 14, 10 and 12 again. Caleb says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." Now, maybe that's true, maybe not. I don't know. If so, that's pretty. He's got good genes, right? But he does acknowledge this. Look at verse 10. "The Lord has kept me alive." You know, it says, you know, God still has something for me. And I love that attitude, don't you? Now, some of you are young, maybe, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. Some of you, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. But guess what? The Lord has kept you alive. You know, God has something for you today. He wants us to be people of faith, always asking, "God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do for you today? What do you want to teach me today?" The Lord has kept me alive, and I'm 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war, for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. I love this. "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." You know, there are opportunities in your life that you're going to encounter now that you just really weren't ready for, maybe 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10, 20, 40 years ago. But God's going to give you that opportunity now. And there's also opportunities, perhaps, that he gave you before, but you turn down. And perhaps he's going to give you some of those same opportunities again, a second chance to pursue them. You know, 40 years earlier, Caleb stepped foot on the promised land and believed that God could give them the land. But because of the unbelief of the people, they failed to take advantage of that opportunity. You know, Thomas Edison said this. He said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." Man, I was reading that quote and I thought, that just characterizes those 10 spies, doesn't it? I mean, they were right there. They were this close to success and just realizing what God had for them and experiencing just what God wanted to do for them. And they just failed. And they died out in the wilderness. They were so close. But now, 45 years later, Caleb is given the opportunity to once again trust God for this mountain. I just wonder, just you think about your own life. I mean, is there anything in your past, maybe God had given you an opportunity, and because of unbelief, you just didn't take him up on it? Maybe so. But maybe he's going to give you that opportunity again. And maybe you'll be ready. "Lord, if you give me the opportunity again, I want to take it by faith." And that's where Caleb was. I'm going to move forward in faith when that opportunity comes. Because, you know, there are those that die in the desert without living lives of faith. It's not that they're not Christians. It's just that they're not experiencing the Lord. They're not walking with God. They're not being fruitful in the mission that God's calling them to do now. They're just kind of doing their own thing, living in kind of a spiritual, quicksand, kind of stuck. Instead of asking God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to give? They've never given room for God to work. You know that? I mean, they just are so focused on themselves and want to control every little thing. And they're filling their life up with so much that they just don't give room to God. You know, they just see all the problems. Look at the giants. Look at the fortifications. Look at all these things. And they just don't consider the God they serve. But that just wasn't Caleb's problem. I mean, he saw the same reality that the people saw, but his perspective was different. He believed that God could work through him. And I was thinking about Caleb, and I was thinking, how easy would it have been for Caleb to grow old bitter? Lord, 40 years in slavery. It wasn't my fault. 40 years, I'm in here, slavery. 40 years in the desert because of these guys over here. You know, I mean, couldn't you, if I was in that position, I probably would have died in the desert because I would have just been bitter. Like, man, could you believe these guys? You know, now 40 years, I got to wait for all you guys to die out before I move forward. This is just crazy. You know, I would have probably just grown bitter. But Caleb, somehow he just said, you know what? I'm focused on the Lord. I'm focused on what God's doing. Even in the midst of what is a challenging time. Because not everybody's going in the same direction I'm going in. But I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to be at work. And God preserves Caleb. 45 years later, gives him this opportunity again. It would have been easy for him to grow bitter. But he never forgot the promise of God. And he believed God even in the midst of the desert season of life. And we all have them. We all have those desert seasons. But he kept reaching forward to what lies ahead by faith, believing God's promise. You know, even this morning, you might be thinking, looking back on your life, and you may think, you know, I wasn't the parent that I wanted to be or that God wanted me to be. You know, I wasn't the spouse or haven't been the spouse that God wants me to be or wanted me to be. I'm not the neighbor. I'm not the friend. I'm not the worker. I'm not, you know, my relationship with God is not where it should be. And you think back and you just think about all those missed opportunities. And our lives are filled with those missed opportunities, aren't they? I mean, my life is. I've missed opportunities in my life. But I look at the life of Caleb and others throughout Scripture and realize, you know what? God gives second chances and third chances. He's always giving his people opportunities to move forward by faith. Always. He never gives up. There's always an opportunity for you and me to grow in the Lord. Always. And that's what I love about this story, that Caleb is always ready to move forward by faith. And so perhaps God's given you, even this morning, he's given you an opportunity to move forward by faith. Yeah, that's not who you were, but who will you become? God's given you an opportunity today because he's kept us alive. He's kept us alive. That means there's hope, there's opportunity to become the people God wants us to be, to grow in our relationship with him. I want you to think about, what is that mountain for you that God wants you to move into? Now, what you need to realize, though, is that the mountain is not just going to be given to you, but it's going to be a battle. And that's what Caleb faced. Notice in verse 12, he says, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day." Now, he recounts, I want you to notice this, he recounts what made those 10 spies so fearful and paralyzed. He says, "Now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day for you. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there." They were scared of the Anakim. "With great fortified cities." They were scared of that. But he says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." So although Caleb was reaching forward, he knew that this wasn't going to be a cakewalk. You know, it would. He knew it was going to require some effort. He's going to have to take a step of faith and move in and experience some friction even. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a battle. I mean, he knew there were giants. They just aren't going to say, "Oh, hey, Caleb, we've been waiting for 45 years for you. Here's the land." You know, they're not going to do that. They're going to say, "I'm not going to give you this land. What are you thinking?" And so Caleb's going to have to go in and do some battle there. But he says, "But may it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I'll drive them out, just as the Lord said." Now, this phrase, "it may be," is not a phrase of doubt, but it is a phrase filled with difficulty. He knows, okay, it's not going to be easy. But he's saying it is a battle, but he believes that the Lord can win the battle. And so when you decide to move forward, then you know what you're going through in your life. And you know those things that are kind of keeping you from moving forward and being the person God wants you to be. When to embrace that and become that, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a challenge. But God is able to move us forward. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so as followers of Jesus, we're always meant to be reaching forward. One way we reach forward is by taking, you know, the gospel into places where there's no worship present. In the hearts of people that don't know Christ, we want to bring the gospel to bear in their lives so that they can respond in faith and come to know Christ personally. Because that's the only way that you enter the eternal promised land, is through faith in Christ. And so we want to do that. But also we want to continue to move into those mountains, into our own hearts. You know, you have these mountains out here. We want to take the gospel to those that don't know Christ. But also you look inside your own heart, you realize, what? There's some mountains there. There's some formidable opponents in my own heart that need to be defeated. And so we need to move into those mountains as well and trust God to drive out the evils of self-centeredness so that we can become the people God wants us to be. But as we seek to wholly follow the Lord, it's not going to be easy. But the promise that Jesus is present with us, he's present with his people, he doesn't leave us, doesn't forsake us, he's going to complete what he has begun in us. He's given us that. All we have to do is receive it by faith, take steps of faith, embrace it just like Caleb. And this should motivate us to move forward. And we need to open our eyes to the opportunities. You know, I believe Caleb was always looking for that opportunity. He's waiting for it. God, just give me the opportunity, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to trust you with it. We need to have eyes that look for those opportunities rather than the eyes that continue to look to our failures. We got to look beyond our past because we're not defined by our past. Our past influences us. It doesn't define us. But we are people of God. And with God, all things are possible. We're ready to move forward, right? We're ready to change. We're ready to become the people God wants us to be. We want to be involved in his mission. And so we're not going to focus on the past. We're going to embrace what he has for us as we move forward. And let us say like Caleb. You know, Caleb said, may it be that the Lord will be with me. And so may we be like Caleb and be full of faith, willing to follow the Lord wholeheartedly wherever he may lead. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Caleb. Thank you for his example to us, example of faith and action. Someone who surely saw the obstacles, realized it was going to be a challenge, obviously realized life is difficult, filled with battles, but was willing to trust you and walk into those battles by faith, believing that you are able to do in his life what you wanted to do. And Lord, may we have that same faith as we consider what we're facing today. Lord, you know the sin in our lives. You know the things that we cling to. You know those things that are keeping us from being the people you want us to be. Lord, you know these things. And you promise to move us forward if we would just trust you and take steps of faith according to your promises in your word. Lord, I pray this morning that we'd be willing to move. That we would not ignore the threats, the challenges, the difficulty. But we would simply just believe your word that says that you are able. That you are able to move us forward. That you are able to change us and make us into the people you want us to be. And Lord, we believe that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.